It's KBIA 91.3 FM. We are having a continuing series of conversations with folks from MU's College of Health Sciences about various healthcare topics. There's an awful lot of research going on here on the MU campus and around the campus with the folks here on different healthcare topics. And Dr. Siobhan Harvey is joining us. She is specifically in the areas of health disparities, rural and community health, and African-American health. And we're going to talk a little bit about health disparities among rural and aging African-Americans here in our state. Dr. Harvey, welcome. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be here.
There have been, we have done a lot of conversations about just the health disparities between rural and urban people. When you live 20 minutes from a hospital, it's a lot better than if you live an hour and a half from one. That part's easy. But when we talk about healthcare needs of African Americans, particularly aging African Americans, there's different needs and different factors involved here.
Yes. Yeah, so when you think about aging African Americans, especially in the rural context, you are not just looking at healthcare. You are looking at how they have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. You are looking at, do they feel safe to walk in the neighborhood because of lack of sidewalks? You are looking at how their social relationship can either support them or act as barriers to make these health behavior change, especially in the context of type 2 diabetes self-management behavior.
And that's one, and I am a patient with that as well, so I can kind of have at least a basic understanding there. A lot of what goes on there is, you know, diet and exercise and the things that you mentioned that are sometimes a lot more convenient. I can walk in about a 2-block time to a really nice walking trail, and I've got a grocery store across the street. If somebody doesn't have those advantages, that's a problem, isn't it?
It is. So one of the things I did in one of my pilot studies is that I specifically asked individuals who had type 2 diabetes, where do you go to get your groceries? And I asked for the address. And what was amazing to me is that there are certain communities that have to drive like 45 minutes to go to a grocery store. And we're not talking about a Hy-Vee. We're talking about a Walmart, right?
Yeah,
And so, but if they live 45 minutes away, it's not like they're going to go every week. They're going to go once a month. So they have to make specific decisions. How much fresh produce I'm going to purchase for the amount of days and versus box meals or frozen meals or canned meals.
And that wouldn't have occurred to me at all, but it would make a huge difference if you're going to buy bananas with the understanding that they may not be any good a month from now.
No, and especially not just bananas, but like lettuce and tomatoes,
sure,
unless you put them in the freezer, right? So there have been individuals who have done that. They would buy milk, and then and they would use one and then put the rest in the freezer to like last for the rest of the month. But so most people don't think about when they're trying to manage their type 2 diabetes that there are some barriers, right? And the additional barriers is not everyone have access to a car. So they have to rely on people sometimes to take them to these grocery stores. And what I also have learned for some of the women and men that I talk to, the grocery store is dictated by who's driving. And if a person is driving to a grocery store that they don't want to go to, they have no other choice but to go to that because that's the only avenue to get to a grocery store. So there's so many other barriers that we don't know about that actually influence health disparities among aging African Americans, because these are the population that at times stop driving themselves because either they are not comfortable driving long distance or they're not comfortable driving in heavy traffic.
That's an issue for a lot of people, but when you talk about somebody that's in a rural area, it's a big difference. I mean, at the point at which I stop being able to drive, I can walk to a grocery store, I can walk to most of the things that I need, but if somebody's in a rural area, that's a really big problem, isn't it?
It is. And it's, even when you think about walking, we have sidewalks, right?
Yeah.
And most of Columbia, we do have sidewalks. And if we don't have sidewalks, we at least have bike lanes. We have some type of way of separating ourselves from cars. In some parts of rural America, the only way of walking is on the road. And you have to, like, make sure that you not going to become roadkill.
Yeah, exactly.
As you walk to go to a store.
So, a vehicle's coming this way, a vehicle's coming this way. You've got to step out and make sure you don't get in the bar ditch. And it's, that's a real challenge. Dr. Siobhan Harvey is our guest. All of the research and all of the researchers we've been talking to are kind of headquartered around healthsciences.missouri.edu. There's one specific area when we're talking about some of these health conditions, and it's true with type 2, and it's true with a lot of other things as well, that's going to be very different for older African Americans in rural communities, and that is the factor of stress. And talk to me about what you're learning about that.
So I am so interested in this component about stress and how stress really just not just change our body and how we metabolize glucose, because stress is part of inflammation. Inflammation can actually rise our glucose level. But the other thing I am noticing about stress is how we react to it, right? And
sure.
So if you are someone who is under a lot of stress, you have to figure out how to get an outlet. And so for people who don't have the ability to have outlets through meditation or yoga or exercise, which is the higher income individuals, there's only so many things you can do. Eat, drink, and smoke.
Yeah.
And so people are who don't have the ability to handle to ameliorate their stress, go towards food most of the time, and those foods tend to be sugary, high fat, highly processed food, and those are the things that kind of impact how people manage their type 2 diabetes. I was talking to one participant, and I was asking, she was listing all the things that she eats, and none of it was healthy.
Sure.
And I asked, I just for some reason asked, like, why are you doing this? And she's like, I don't know, I guess I'm stressed. And then I began to ask, well, what kind of stress are you going through? And she began to tell me all of the things that was going on with her life as far as her relationship with family members and how she felt about herself and how she was trying to navigate the medical care system. And all of it was overwhelming for her. And the only way that she could kind of manage this on a day-to-day basis was to eat unhealthy.
All of the factors we're talking about with some of these people, being older, being African American, being from out of town and having to travel in to see a doctor, all of that can kind of affect people's self-esteem a little bit when they get into the doctor's office and make it a little bit harder for the suggestions that the doctor is giving to land, and also for a doctor to relate to somebody that's living a very different life than they are. So how are you suggesting we address this and kind of try to make things better?
So that's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing right now, I'm just talking to individuals who are living in the context of rural America. I did it in rural Texas, now I'm doing it in rural Missouri. My goal is to create a very specific intervention within the context of what it means to be Black and rural and deal with diabetes. And so part of what I'm doing right now is generating information so that I can come back to the same group of people in a year or two to work with them to actually create an intervention that they will follow. So I really believe that I don't believe in the fields of dream kind of intervention. We build it, then we come. I believe in, like, make sure that I am building something that I know they will go to and that they will actually call it as theirs. So my goal is to actually develop an intervention with the residents in rural Missouri so that they will have something that they actually will go to.
I want very much, I'm going to tell you right now, I want very much to get you back in here a year or 18 months from now and follow up on this, because it sounds like this is not, it's not a roadmap. There's not, you know, a blueprint that says you do this and then this will happen. You're kind of striking out a little bit with some experimentation that's going to have to happen with this, and you're going to find some W's and you're going to find some L's, and it's going to be real interesting to see what you find that does work and where that takes you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the one thing I'm really excited about, and especially the type of work that I do, is because you know, people have so many different type of lived experience and stressors in their lives, and how, but there could be some themes, right, that would actually unite people, even if they may be stressing about a loved one who is sicker than they are, or stressing about the loss of a family member, or stressing about their job, or stressing about their disease, having a condition that is lifelong is a hard pill to swallow, and I don't think people really understand the process that everyone have to go through to accept, like, I have this for the rest of my life, and it's not going to happen overnight, and sometimes that process takes years. So, I would love to come back to see what some of my L's and W's as far as creating this programming. I can honestly say I don't know what it will look like, but the one thing I do know is going to have a lot of input from the community.
One thing we do know is that none of it's going to happen if there isn't somebody that gives a darn that at least gets the process started, and it sounds like that's what you're after. So we're really happy to hear that, happy to hear some level of optimism in you and some level of drive and determination to go out there and see where the answers can be and what can get things moving forward. So we will look forward to hearing more about this. Again, all of the research on all of the topics you've heard us discuss goes through the website healthsciences.missouri.edu. It's through the College of Health Sciences. We've been talking with Dr. Siobhan Harvey. Siobhan, it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed talking to you, and I really do look forward to following up sometime down the road and seeing how things are going.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me, and I enjoy spending time with you as well.
And I think that was maybe just a tiny bit longer, 12 minutes. That's perfect.